What is this shift?
I have to restate it now.
Here we are.
Go ahead, take it away. Repeat everything word for word.
Well, we can move on to the hidden energies card, because I also felt that that was pretty spot on about, so the key words that I have is nervous, ongoing battle, guarded, wounded, courage, persistence, and drained. It says, when the Nine of Wands comes up in a reading, it can signify you feeling drained or tired. Have you been fighting a battle, or are you disappointed in the results? You could be halfway through a battle and needing the strength to keep going. This is the looking over your shoulder card. It is important to protect yourself, but it's also important to focus on the task ahead. You are so close to success, but you need to stay focused. Recall how you handled situations that helped you or hindered you in the past. This will help you handle your current endeavor. Take that gained wisdom and use it to your advantage. Which also, to me, feels really spot on for a lot of things, kind of also to do with that first card of feeling like I'm rebelling, you know, without a cause or whatever, pushing against the grain. That is, I feel like I, you know, we're all a little kooky, right? We're all creative, artistic type people. Obviously, that's why we're here. And I feel like I have been that way, but for a really long time, I've just been trying to fit into society's expectations and just get a job and work and pay things and buy things and save. Yeah, like mindlessly going into this thing and just me as a person that chose to not like create her own individual family, I've been just a really great support for all of my family. And in that way, like it's, I feel like I've kind of just kept myself like stuck in this pattern. I need money for this so that I can pay for this so that I can send it to this person and do these things. When I've, and I've just been fighting it, because I don't want to have a job forever. I don't want to feel like this mindless, soulless servant person giving away the best hours of my day to these corporations that are going to use it to do things like buy an extra yacht, or to do things like buy an extra dress that just, it would be so ridiculous and expensive and unnecessary. Whereas if I choose to reorient myself for what do I need my finances for, and how can I, if I'm more mindful and here in the now, like you were saying, Salma, if I'm more present with what I'm, the decisions that I'm making, I can say, I can use less, because something that being unemployed right now is teaching me is I don't need to consume as much as I do. I have, I mean, granted, I'm also home more often so I can cook, but eating at home is so affordable and so easy and so healthy, and I feel better. And it's just made such a difference. Whereas before, you know, just exhausted, tired, burnt out, you're just getting convenience. You're, we're paying for convenience at the cost of our, at the cost of ourselves. It just doesn't make sense. And I'm trying to find a way to make that work, I guess, going into the future here now. It's like remembering that I am here now, but I'm trying to line myself up in my next job where it's not just a job. It's something where I could invest myself in my energy into and be proud of what I'm doing. I don't want to, you know, I'm moving away from office and sales and these just basic corporate positions where I'm not happy. I want to do something, even if I'm working really hard for someone else, I want to at least do something where I feel fulfilled, where I feel like I'm doing something that's purposeful, I guess. I don't know.
Something that I've started realizing with kind of along those same lines of what you're saying, or kind of to further that in a lot of ways, what I've been noticing in my own life is this decision-making, this, what I was seeing, what I was hearing with what you're saying is like being present, but like having a conscious decision-making. So like that next job, you are consciously deciding, this is going to further me somehow. I'm consciously choosing to be in this place because this is the benefit that I want, or this is like, it's not just, oh, this is just I just have to make money. I just have to do this. This is just a means to an end. It's just where I'm at. But you are choosing, saying, I'm going to be here because this is what I want to do for whatever purpose. And when I've been, as I've been doing that in this past month or so, like I've noticed in myself this shift of like peace and happiness and like just being able to just sit in my place and know that whatever it is that's going on, whatever it is that I'm choosing, I've chosen this and I love that. And I love that. And it's changed my entire outlook to be able to say, despite all this craziness that's going on, I'm choosing this moment. I'm choosing to be present with this moment.
Being more intentional in your decisions, even if they're not always working out 100%, you feel, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like you feel more at peace with it because at least you know, like you, that's done with. Like it's the decision is made. You're like, yeah, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. I'll pursue this till the end and we'll see where it goes. If that doesn't work, then I'll move on to next. I don't know. Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying.
There's something about it. It's like you've just taken ownership of your whole life. And not that you have like control over everything. You can't control everything, but you're just saying, I am here. This is me. This is what I am. And all these external factors, like they have a play, they have their purpose, they have their whatever they're doing, but I am choosing to have those as part of my life. And if I want to choose something different, I can do that. But this is what I've chosen. And I don't know. There's something about that ownership that's really been making a difference for me. What are the sage advice from our elders here?
Well, I'm telling you, almost every word you're saying is just already so brilliant, both of you. And when you were reading the very beginning, Daniela, the very first couple of sentences, I literally did this again. It was just like, and it's a page of swords, and I don't have a lot to say about him other than that's me right now, letting go of what isn't the moment. That's what just came to me. Almost because I'm applying it to conversations, even of being present in a conversation enough to ask for what I want. And out of rebelling, when we were talking about the other card, the Hierophant, and plus, we didn't, you don't have either of the cards, you were just. Looked it up in the book. I don't know. I haven't seen
Oh no, yeah,
your.
I
Oh.
first pulled the
Oh,
Hierophant.
yeah, that one's hard to see
Yeah.
there.
The
Oh,
Hierophant
okay.
in reverse.
In
And I
reverse,
think
even.
super
And Widget
shiny.
had something to say about the reverse that was also very interesting in one of the promotions she was making. And I don't remember what it was, but we can look it up. Because it was the positive aspect. Yeah. How does positive question? So what it took for me to give up the rebel without a cause that I didn't know I was, which served me until it went to the point of going against me. But I think it got to the point where I could see that it was that I was the one that was causing myself to argue with it, with anything that was coming from trust, and I wasn't trusting myself. And so, of course, you know, it's a red flag. You're going to get into trouble. You're going to get some kind of interruption, right? And not to blame, but it's like staying present to that, staying present to, oh, I could trust myself. Oh, that means I need to meditate more. So I trusted that too. That came along. And it took me 4 hours a day for a while. And right now, I went to 2 hours a day. It's not quite enough. It was good enough for me to focus on conversations, like I said, because that's what started coming to me in meditation were the things that were bothering me. And I would see them in the morning, and then I could have that conversation. And it was bursting into tears. I was able to communicate, yes, through tears. That were essential for me to pay attention as well and release, because that's what I do with them. was that kind of crying. It needed to come, and so it did. We're having an event here, and we're looking for a spot for this art to be. So he cleared out this area. And there was something I needed to tell him about, like, I need light coming in where you guys are going to put that barrier. And they tried coming up with something, and I went, okay. He said, they're going to paint it white. It'll reflect light inside your casita. I said, okay. It wasn't okay, because this morning I woke up at like 3 having a suffocating dream. So I went, oh, different conversation. And so I went and I said, I really want to talk about this again. I know it's, I don't know what to do, but I don't want this feeling of suffocating in that space without light or nature coming through. And so we had the conversation, and first he said, no way. And I said, please don't say that. There's always a way. And so my son came, and he cleared it up. He said, we do need this, and we'll put holes for the light to come through. And I was like, yay. So before, it would have been nothing but yelling, really. Like, and nobody giving and nothing being accomplished kind of thing. But no, this was like staying so present, so grounded, that the solution was possible, period. And that comes from trusting myself. And that keeps me present now. And like you said, Elias, it's owning who I am. And it does feel like being at home with myself.
I think it's also, I've recently had a lot of good conversations with my mom. We have our own beefs, me and her and our family and everyone, of course.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I'm having these conversations with her, sometimes when I say things, and I'm a strong believer in you get back what you put out. So I know that if I'm not communicating with her in the right way, I'm not going to get the right responses from her. So it's just a constant practice over and over and over again. And more recently, we've reached a point where I'm able to communicate things. And even if the response isn't exactly what I want, it's not a defensive shutdown. It's like an, okay, I hear what you're saying. And there's such tiny little moments, kind of like you're saying with your husband, but they feel like such huge victories. It's that sitting at peace with yourself, because I made that conscious intention to have the practice, to have the patience, to no matter what happens, I'll be okay with the conversation. And with enough of it, you know, you do see the little steps, and then eventually you get to these huge mile markers and you're like, oh my God, this is huge. This is, our relationship is changing. I can have conversations with this person. And it's because, like you said, like you're being more there for yourself. You're being more present for yourself, more intentional, which is obviously a practice for all of us too, with ourselves and with others. But it's nice when other people also, they start to match your energy, because if you show up for yourself, they also do too. And they want to do better. And it's nice. It's hard to be just mean to someone that's genuinely cares about you and is putting their kindest foot forward. And if you just like stay grounded in that energy, I think we could take over the world.
Yes.
Yeah. With being nice, with being kind, with being patient.
I just love that it starts with just showing up for yourself, like being present with yourself and
be the change.
You show up as you are, as you fully are, and they will too.
That's also you're giving other people permission to do the same, right? That's Marianne Williamson's quote.
I love Marianne Williamson. I wish she was president.
Me too.
So sad.
She's still saying great things, though.
I was just going to say, if you're new here, you're listening to Shift Hit the Fan.
Wait.
Because we've already started.
I've got this figured out. At the end, we're going to redo the intro, and then we're going to cut it and put it in the beginning.
All right.
Yeah.
We have started. As soon as we hit that record button, it started.
All right.
I feel like our conversation's been great, and I love Daniela, how she's just been like pulling this out of her life. Because like all the rest of us were like, I have
I
no
just
idea.
decided to show up and overshare
No, I love it. It's
It's
perfect.
but the key word is
Last.
share. You're really sharing with examples that make it clear how it's affecting you. So that's really useful for me anyway.
And I feel like it's all, I'm relating to what like things you guys are saying. Like it's all very, it's just coming to me because actually Soma, something that I was thinking about when you were talking with about that conversation with your husband is I was just reading, I'm reading this book called Anger by Thich Nhat Hanh. I love him. He was a wonderful teacher, and I've been feeling very angry myself and just, I call it salty, but it's resentment, you know, like it's like angry and resentful and just upset at things, you know? And something that has been so beautiful and so lovely and so helpful to me recently is one of the little passages in this. He talks about your organic feelings, about how, you know, we are our own universe, right? We are a self-sustaining ecosystem here. But one of the things is that you need garbage, you need compost, you need waste. So if we start beating up on ourselves for that one day that we lost our temper and maybe said something unkind to somebody, and if we hyperfixate on that, just making that waste and just focusing on it being waste as opposed to converting it into compost for the rest of the things that in us that need it, then we're not really like keeping our ecosystem going. So he just, I'll just read it right here. Let me see where it starts. Both our negative feelings and positive feelings are organic and belong to the same reality. So there is no need to fight. We only need to embrace and take care. Therefore, in the Buddhist tradition, meditation does not mean you transform yourself into a battlefield with the good fighting the evil. This is very important. You may think that you have to combat evil and chase it out of your heart and mind, but this is wrong. The practice is to transform yourself. If you don't have garbage, you have nothing to use in order to make compost. And if you have no compost, you have nothing to nourish the flower in you. You need the suffering, the afflictions in you. Since they are organic, you know that you can transform them and make good use of them. So sometimes we have to go through those terrible garbage experiences of getting caught in that anger cycle where we're just unkind to people, or when we get really sick and we just get really down on things. Like we go through these phases and we think that they're bad, but it's completely necessary. You know, in order to launch the slingshot, you have to be able to stretch it back with power, with strain, with stress in order to launch yourself forward. So it all makes sense. And I'm sure that if you also help, because he also talks about in this book about watering the seeds of your partners and everyone around you. But not only does your partner obviously need to do this for himself, but you can do it too. Like we're here to support each other and help each other, because if I know how to make compost, then I can help my sister make compost. And if my sister has made compost, she can help me when I'm not quite doing it. You know, we can all support each other in turning our waste into beautiful flower gardens or whatever.
Yes, absolutely. It does make me think of the star card that you drew, Elias, because I kept seeing, like I said, ripples in the card, rippling out from, you know, what she's pouring. I don't have it open right now, but I can remember it actually. The clouds were in layers, and I always talk about what we're going through as layers. Yes. And every visual thing represented the layers and the pleats of the clothing, one upon the other, upon the other, upon the other. The clouds are doing that as well. The stars painted that way, and also the emanations outward are that. The bushes are in front of one another. The mountains are in front of one another. Even the tiny ripples behind her in the water. And that all represents life. The ripples of life, or just even what comes to mind is, you don't want it flat. That's flatlining in the hospital, right? The life curve shows you the ups and the downs and all, but this is a brilliant, shining emanation of our souls. That's just such who we are. We came here as stars.
Makes me think of the butterfly effect.
Yes.
That just the beat of a wing of a butterfly can create all sorts of changes in the future.
A hurricane on the other end of the earth, or I forget which, you know, where it is, but yeah.
I take off the glare. I don't know how to fix it, but okay, yeah, she's got all the ripples here.
Yeah. But in the other one, it's every little thing represented is layering and rippling.
It's Daniela, like what you're saying with this compost, it reminds me of this process that I've been going through lately of allowing, having that quiet time to just listen to the voices in my head, to listen to like these things that are telling me that I'm terrible or that I'm doing the wrong things or that I'm like making me question my validity in life, my worth in life. And as I just listen to them and just let them kind of run through, not really trying to grasp hold of anything, not trying to find some action that I need to take, not trying to find whatever, as I've just listened to them, eventually they just run out. And it's just like, oh, I found that breath again, that Page of Swords. Oh,
yes.
It's just expelled out the waste of the waste inside of me. And what I've kind of started to see thoughts as, and I saw this a while back ago, that thoughts are kind of like exhaust in a car. Like your body's having all these chemical reactions and it's just associating these chemical reactions with these thoughts, these images, these words, whatever it is. And so sometimes you just have to like let the chemical reactions do their thing, run themselves out, and then till they're just gone, instead of trying to use those chemical reactions to like continually feed the machine.
Yeah, what is why is it here? What is it doing? It's just let it be.
Yeah. That's a big practice with like mindfulness. And one of the mindfulness practices I have, it's similar to that, where I will, like, I've set a timer to go off like every minute or every 2 minutes or something like that. And in that time, I just let my mind wander. Just let it, and all the things, wherever it's going, whatever thought process I'm trying to have. And then when that timer goes off, I bring it back. I bring my focus back onto my breath. And so I follow my breath or my heartbeat or something inside of my body. I just listen to that. And then when those thoughts come back around, they're different. Like, because I've broken that thought process and broken the chain reaction, they come back around and they're different. Maybe they're a little lighter, or maybe I'm thinking about something completely different. But just that act of like breaking the cycle, it's just forms that feeling inside of me of, oh, that thought wasn't that important. It was just a thought. It was just a fleeting moment of some recreation of the life that I'm living.
I think so often our autonomic response is to hyperfixate on it, right? Because it's what we evolved to do. We need to focus on what we've done wrong so we can do better, because, you know, when we were first coming out of the primordial goo, that's life and death. You have to make sure that, okay, I hunted incorrectly over here, almost got killed, make sure and do it this way next time. But now our crazy fight or flight moments and experiences are silly little things like conversations with our spouse or interviews for a job and talking to a police officer when you get pulled over. Like, it's these little, not life or death thing that we still are just hyper fixating on. And yeah, that's the point, is just to break the cycle. Whatever it is, if you just let it like you're saying, exhaust, or like a balloon just running out. Like, just let it do its thing and let it run out, and then what you're left with is maybe something that we could, that you can worry about then. What are your thoughts afterwards? Because I do notice I hyperfixate on all the critical thoughts of myself, but anything kind or nice or positive, it's immediately gone. It's like, oh, okay, well, they don't mean these things. Like, I will believe that I'm an idiot 10 times before I believe that I'm an intelligent person, because I'm like, they're just saying that, you know, they're just being nice. They're just this. But the other one, I'm like, they wouldn't have said that if they didn't mean it, you know? And it's what I'm choosing to believe and what I choose to hyperfixate on. And if I can just break these cycles and just remind myself to come back to the here and now, then I don't know. It just changes how you feel throughout the day. And if you feel better about yourself, you're kinder towards people. You feel better about the world. Change your perspective, you change the world. So it's so important to work on ourselves before we go out and try to help others. And I mean, even just existing in the world, we're going to influence and affect others. So it's important for us to take that daily moment to come back to the here and now and try to be intentional. Oh, it's like our human responsibility. Gosh, annoying.
Well, I think this process, like we sometimes think, oh, if I can fix it right in this moment, then it's going to be better. But then we go back to it and we keep feeding it. And we forget that it's as simple as just taking a breath. Like, taking a breath changes the chemistry in your body. Or like being present and looking at the tree or the plant or something different for just that split second, it changes what that cycle is in our brain. And then suddenly you're on a slightly different thought. And then you just repeat that over and over and over again until suddenly whatever it was you were thinking about isn't as bad as it was, or it's completely different from what it was. And again, it's just breaking the cycle. In the medical term, positive feedback loop, the thing that feeds the thing, which feeds the thing again, which, you know, keeps jumping back and forth until it's just the snowball effect.
Yeah.
And I'm going to shift the breaking of the cycle to shifting the cycle, which becomes the ripple, because you've said each time that happens, it turns into another thought. That's what I've always called layers. It's like, yes, that one's gone. That one's permanently gone. And when it returns, it's new. It may not be completely new. It's probably going to be new again.
You have a different perspective by the time it comes back. You think of it differently too.
Yes, absolutely. That is the transformation. And it is continual. And it is, I do like ripples and layers as a description, and certainly emanation. To me, it's more accurate than levels, because we're just used to levels being higher, you know, like a hierarchy. And not that that's bad. I'm sure there are other things that relate to that. But it's a greater comparison than is helpful to identify the places that our souls are expanding towards. So, yeah, those thoughts, that we're going to keep running thoughts, or our thoughts are going to keep running. And then that's that other part. When we own it, we get to say, oh, no, not that thought. Like, go shut up. Go sit down. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that one again. That's an old one. If it starts to even hint something that's related in a way that you can do something. But Elias, what you brought up was like, you know, when you're there and present to it and listening, the thought is finally heard. It's finally heard, and that allows for the shift. Ah. And the thought gets to take a breath too. Anyway, that's what I could hear in all of what you were sharing.
In 2020, I had this, like, I call it my spiritual awakening or a mental breakdown or whatever. I had this big perspective. And one of the really big things that set with me, or that just made sense to me at the time, was dive into the abyss. I think so often a lot of people will become afraid of their thoughts. I think a lot, like, this happens common space, you know, it'll happen a lot. Like, if anyone ever has any kind of dream or a passing sexual thought about a family member, they may hyperfixate and say like, oh my gosh, I have this problem. There's something wrong with me, because you shut it down as soon as you think, oh, that's not okay. That's not okay. That's not okay. And because of that, you never really think the thought through and let it out, kind of like what Elias was saying, because not that specific example, but during my time, like I just had to think so many thoughts through. And once I thought them through, I was like, oh yeah, immediately, that is not something I'd actually want to do. That's not something I'm actually interested in. Like, you get past that first little threshold and you're like, yeah, okay, done. That thought, I've passed it through, it's gone now. But because we stop ourselves, and I think actually personally, I think that this is why a lot of highly religious people will develop these unfortunate perversions, that will harm young, like children, and things that happen, grown people too, but specifically when it happens to children, is because I think they just get to these thoughts and they're like, no, that's bad. I'm wrong. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. And you shut yourself off from parts of yourself, and you cannot grow into these regions because you can't get past that first little whatever threshold it may be. So it can sound silly, but like even thinking about things like suicide and stuff like that, like really for me, a big part of it was fully thinking it through. What is the method? Who will find me? Who's gonna call? Who's going, like, I had to make a bunch of arrangements for funerals before. So I was thinking, like, who's gonna pick my last outfit? Who's gonna make sure, like, who's gonna do all these things? And am I okay with doing this to people? Like, I'm on the other side watching this. Like, is this an okay experience? And once I thought all that stuff through, I realized it's not an option. Is it a thought that comes up? Absolutely, still all the time. I am unemployed and I'm freaked out about life right now. And I'm single, not married, like I'm not doing all these things that like society expects of me. And I was like, these thoughts crossed my mind, but because in 2020 I just thought through everything, like it's not an option. I know that it's genuinely not an option. I wish, it sounds lovely, but so does telling Elon Musk to shoot me out into Mars, but I know that's not an option. I think, oh, that sounds peaceful. But then I'm like, okay, back to work, back to what I need to do, back to what matters, because I'm able to let that thought do its thing, work its way out, and I can get back to what's important, which is what the here and now is. The what can I do here and now? Worrying about these things isn't going to help me. Stressing about these things isn't going to help me. Getting angry about these things isn't going to help me. But focusing on right here and now. I'm hungry. I need to eat. I'm not very intelligent when I'm dehydrated. These little decisions of caring for yourself make these huge ripples out into everyday life, everything you do. It's really impressive. Yeah. Just the change in the cycles.
A shift where you're shifting and shifting cycles.
Feel like I'm going through a midlife crisis. I'm going through something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's awesome and very conscious of you. And we need labels sometimes for that. Yeah. And just because I really was pointing to that part of like, once going through it enough times, say now when you have the thought, it's not an option. That's you being in the driver's seat. It's not needing that thought to continue, and it just doesn't. But it is you also being conscious at a level of like, I'm the one that has a say here, not the thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are not your thoughts, you're how you respond to them.
And how you create them too, because in that moment, you're creating a different, your process has created a different thought.
I
Then,
think something else to think about
okay.
with it too is those thoughts might have their own intelligence in a lot of ways. Like why do you what for some one of the thoughts that I've had or one of the realizations I've had with suicidal thoughts is why am I having those suicidal thoughts? Something inside of me is probably dying or wants to die, or is there's a death occurring inside of me that I just need to let that thing die, and I need to let my body process that death, that phase transition into whatever it is that I'm transitioning into, or the thing that I just need to let go of because it's killing me inside, and I don't want that anymore. And so I think these thoughts are the way I kind of see them, and the way I see the body as well, is that each one of our cells has its own intelligence. The bacteria, all these different organs and organisms have some sort of intelligence in them, and they're all working together as a team to create this physical self. And so we might have these thoughts, and that might be a part of us, but that's not the only thing that's a part of us. We also have, sensation in our fingers and sensations in our nose, and we can bring ourselves back to other parts of ourself that might help us integrate into the intelligence that's happening inside our body. And so going back to that exhaust idea, what if that's just our body's way of processing the things that are happening around us, then we let it process. We let that intelligence act in the way that it needs to act, but then find some form of relaxation so that you're not so tied to that process that's happening. And I think that's where just letting those thoughts go and just saying, what are you here for? What are you trying to tell me? What is it that I can learn from you? And have that compassion for yourself, for the intelligences inside of yourself, the different components that make up who you are and what your body is. I think there's a lot of wisdom in just listening to the wisdom of our body.
I'm glad you just brought up wisdom too, because I thought of it earlier, even when Daniela was talking, because you were talking about needing the compost, needing the darkness, needing the pain, whatever that is, needing the times in relationship that it's fucked. So needing all of that, and at the same time, I lost the second part. Oh, the wisdom. That's the gaining of the wisdom, going through that pain or whatever we want to call it. And for me, I love calling it wisdom because that's what it is. And for me, that's more empowering than calling it a lesson. Really, we came here as humans and we're here to learn lessons. That sounds fun. No, how about there's a purpose for going through this. And we will go through it. And I also just, see the difference. I am not a person. It took a major, major thing. Gosh, when was it? I was well into my, let's see, I'm 73, well into my 60s when I got the sense of a suicidal thought. But even then, it was like, oh, now I know why others get to this point. For me, it wasn't, man, I'm going to go kill myself, but it was like I got the feeling of it. And that was all it was for me and ever. However, the purpose that you just described, Elias, for me, it comes in dreams, like my suffocation dream. I was going to die underwater until I realized I just got to be with the water. And then I didn't need to breathe. And then I woke up. And then I knew what it was about, the suffocation in my little casita. And I had to get up and I came in the office to finish sleeping.
I think what it felt like to me is like there's wisdom in, for one, listening to these intelligences, to these voices in our life, to life in general, but also deeper than that, just experiencing life, being with the experience, just realizing that you are in a physical body having such a deep level of experience that it can be overwhelming. Being with that experience, I think is there's power in that. And like last night, I did jumped in the cold bath, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I had done a sauna just before that, and then jumped in the cold bath. So it wasn't a terrible sensation of wow, I'm really cold. It was just like, wow, that's really intense and that's cold. And I was able to just feel throughout my body of like, I can feel that happening and this happening and that happening. And I can feel my heart rate suddenly just wants to drop and my breath is moving and just being with that experience and not trying to run away from it, not trying to just suffer through and put my mind somewhere else to get through that cold sensation. But, oh, can I be with that? Can I connect with my body? Can I bring all members of my body back together? And I think in some ways, I like to look at the word remember as remember. You're remembering, you're putting your members back together and connecting this sense of wholeness to who you are.
I like that. The opposite of dismember, remember.
All right. Well, I think that's what we got. Go in silent. Huh? Unless Alvar's got some more words. She's been sitting there.
Yeah. Well, I was just looking at, so I have this this app. It's a like a period tracker, but it's not made in the U.S. It tells you what your hormone energy is for the day, and I'm in the observation day today. So I'm like, how perfect is it that I'm observing here all of my thoughts just coming out of your mouth?
Yes, thank you.
Because we do talk about this stuff a lot on this. Like Elias and I have been talking about the power, the magic of observing your thoughts, of being with them, not trying to control or manipulate them or change them, but literally just listening, just observing to see what they say, so you learn how to hold every aspect of yourself. I thought of a couple of times, so I was like, I should read the Loteria as a tarot one day.
Use it as a tarot deck.
Yeah. Yeah, because I, you know, Elias actually talked about it. I also see all these aspects of myself as their own little entities. They don't come from me. They come through me. I've inherited them. Most of them aren't even mine. I've just been given these things to observe, to experience. These are the things that my ancestors didn't know how to hold. They just passed down through me. So, you know, I'm just here to learn to do what they didn't have time for, they didn't have life for, they didn't have the awareness for. They want to express themselves. They want to be heard. And then they just fizzle out once they... Did you hear that echo?
All of a sudden,
I'm just, see, it's trying to echo my words.
It was your ancestors.
Yeah, it's like, you guys hear this, literally. This is part of the message. It is an echo, right? It's all, I love that happened. It's not from you, it's through you. Life is happening through you. And the more we can allow, I thought of also Bruce Lee, which I have back here, right? Yeah. Obsessed with Bruce Lee, and Empty Your Mind has been coming up a lot, because the more we allow to, instead of adding more to the stuff that we experience, if we allow it to just be heard, to be experienced, to be held, we're not adding to the stuff. And this is the process of emptying the mind. This is the way to master the mind, essentially. It's not about controlling. It's not about manipulating. It's not about trying to have the right thoughts. It's about allowing all of it. And because it's in the silence where we get the new stuff that's trying to come through, that's been trying to come through for ages through our ancestors and all this stuff. New things are trying to come through. And that's why we're all breaking down. We're all being aware of these things. We're all having the same conversations, the same thoughts. It's in the collective. It's time for a change in the way that we're functioning. And that made me think of the Six of Wands, which is the one that I pulled, because I was trying to think of how does this fit in? But if you look at what the five is the shitster. So you've gone beyond the five. You're no longer in that mess of your power. Now you're more into the after, the more stability in the spiritual sense of your power. So we've moved into a new phase. This is just showing us it's gonna, you know, the fact that the Hierophant was upside down, right, or in reverse, and what you read, I don't, that didn't make it on the recording, right? About Yeah, because I wasn't paying attention. I was observing. That's what I was doing. I didn't, yeah, I thought we usually
Paying
warm up.
attention in a different way.
Yeah, I was in reverse. I was in the old way, like, because I'm learning to be with what this new shift is. I keep getting these messages all the time, and I keep seeing, just like a friend of mine came over to spoil me, essentially, from the alchemy course, and he wanted to buy me a tarot deck, and I went in there looking for tarot, but what kept coming to me was, like, I would get drawn into by different things, and then he pulls it, hands it to me or whatever. I'm sitting in a wheelchair, just like trying to put things on my heart, because I promised my heart that I would check in with it before making any choices. I said, even if I have attachments to something else, I'm not gonna go outside of whatever you say feels good. I want to be heart led. So I was holding on to this one tarot deck that I really wanted, but when I'd put it on my heart, it was not comfortable. It did not sit right, because I'm, like, attached to the image of it. So this, and then I come home with an oracle deck, and I'm like, okay, this is what feels good to my heart, and, like, it felt like the images were speaking to my soul. So when I opened it to try to connect with it, I'm like, what's your purpose? Like, why did we connect like this? And it was basically telling me it's time for change, like, because I didn't think I was that witch, to get an oracle deck, and here I am. A witch with an oracle deck now. So yeah, I don't know if I got off my point, but this is how I am learning to be with that new shift. What is trying to be called through me? What is trying to be born from this experience? Because it also told me it's time for change. It's time to be. I've spent enough time in the dark. It's time to come back out in the light. And time for change. So I was like, all right, you win. You're right. I actually pulled a card, and I said, tell me what the context is for what this. I wasn't going to include it in this reading. I just wanted to have a context for how to read the cards, which is why I've been just sitting here and observing, because I'm like, how does the time master fit in to this?
Is that an oracle card?
Yeah, this is the Oracle card. It's essentially, like what we think of in, like, spiritual spaces, that it's a construct. We basically get to say what's really happening, past, present, and future. And I think that's a pretty good container for what I said. Just took me a bit to sort of process, like, it's all trying to come through us. It's been here from the past or wherever, the future. We just get to hold it however it wants to come up, when at the timing that it wants to come up. It's not going to come up in the way that we try to force it or whatever. Whatever wants to be dealt with is going to come up. I think some of y'all have mentioned that, something similar.
When I think of a time master, I think of timelessness first, which includes all of it all at once. And I think we do get to ask. And I don't think that's controlling. I think that's all also coming through. And
Yeah, but it's
then we
on
get
your mind
whatever.
for a reason.
Yeah. And we need clarification sometime when it comes through. And also that place of like, I'm a generation older. And I hear the nuance, or I catch the nuance of the old referred to as, and it probably wasn't there, but I still want to bring it through, that when the messages came to you, they could have been fully full wisdom at their time and then given to you to develop further, and not necessarily that they hadn't dealt with it. You know, there's just that opening of that as more available, just coming through us so that we can also be more open. And then the force versus cause, because I think cause is also what I was getting to about the being empowered. That's also with the Time Master and how I play with weather, because it's not, I mean, it's not like nobody plays with weather, but you know, there are groups that do. But when I played with weather, it wasn't because I was in a group. It came through me. I was doing it to help others, and it worked. So I continued. And that's another thing that has shifted for my husband, that always before he would say, well, the weather's going to be such and such. And I say, well, that's just predicted. Well, they're right all the time. Well, most of the time. But it didn't keep me from playing, because I was right enough times as well when I intended it. And that playing with the weather, for a while I thought, oh, I'm going to teach this, I'm going to teach this. But no, it was, I mean, maybe at some point, but it didn't end up being timing. And I did explore it with others quite a bit. And for me, what it's taught now is going that step
Uh-oh.
further on the collective. Oh,
We
his
lost
power went
Elias.
out. Yeah. Going that step further on that collective theme, that is us holding the space for the collective to be uplifted, just in the same way that you were talking about showing up to a conversation with someone. And in that listening and observing, the conversation shifts from your intention. Again, back to the quote from Marianne Williamson, giving other people permission to do the same. As from where you're standing, that's taking it out of context, but I don't have the quote with me, and it's a long quote, so it's not the one I'm gonna pull out or anything. And for me, that leads to manifestation. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot the quantum physics part. Because there is the explanation of quantum physics, which I'm not a quantum scientist. And
Could have fooled me. Just kidding.
exactly dwelling in those conversations. However, what I did recognize from hearing it from Deepak Chopra when he was talking about the quarks, and that was discovered, like, I don't know. Well, he was talking about it, let's say, in the mid 80s. I think it was discovered just a little bit before then. And he was explaining that they finally realized the quarks didn't ever exist before. They only began first, maybe even at all, seeing the trails as they were leaving, because they were being observed. And they literally weren't there until an observer was placed there. And there's another explanation that I'm not going to give, but it's from Greg Braden. And it's a whole scientific experiment that is more recent, and it completely shifts by the observer. So that is you being the observer up there, having your thoughts as you're thinking them. And then we're in our AI brains, I'm going to say, receptors are putting it forth in however we are. And then you got to come and complement it. And it one more thing, it reminds me the other day, I woke up in the morning and I was like, oh, our brains already function like AI, because let's say ChatGPT, okay, has all the information in the internet. Somebody goes in and asks a question, and boom, there's the answer. That happens with us all the time in conversation. I have my expertise in energy medicine. I have 50 years plus to have that resource. When someone asks me a question, I have that answer because of all that experience. Not because, and some of it was, of course, half of it was reading, but so much of it was lived and practiced. So it's all in there, and these computers were made by us. So, yes, I particularly can learn an organization level that I didn't have before out of using it. But it's still in that space that we can still teach the computers, we can still connect with each other and cause what we want on this planet. And it's happening the way people are standing up now, which they never did before in politics, not in my waking time.
I love that you said the power went out when Elias's computer died, because that's the conversation that was, I guess, sort of fueling this conversation, is the threat of the power grid going out. You know, what do we
Yeah.
do? Because they're claiming it's a prediction,
Yep, I've heard
but
of
then people are
20
disappearing,
years.
right? People that would actually be able to stop it are disappearing. So they're like, you know, the empire's falling. They're desperate right now. What are we going to do? What are we going to co-create as a people? And I think it's like the perfect time right now to be the observer, not make meaning. Because I'm the same way, always have an answer. We're know-it-alls, right? We're knowers. We just have the answer ready because of that. Because like I used to use my dreams for that. I was a lucid dreamer since I was a kid. I would use my dreams for problem solving, to put myself in the worst possible situations to see how I would handle it and repeat it over and over. And so I will purposely trap myself places. That's what I've been doing recently, is I like put myself with limited movement under like a under a stage, like with a trap door. Initially, like I was banging and they immediately let me out, but I was like, no, what am I doing? This is an opportunity to see what I can, you know, to be with the panic, to be with, because there are people right now that are trapped under rubble. And I ended up under the rubble, having to learn to be with observing somebody else being helpless and observing them also be helpless under the rubble. And so it's like these things are the things that I did.
And this is what it looks like when the, because we come together, because we practiced our tools, when the power goes out, we continue doing the same. We continue connecting with each other.
This power is
And
not going out.
no, well, yeah, no, I'm
I'm just
talking
saying,
about the
when that power
grid.
goes out, this
Yeah.
power still remains.
Yes, this power still remains. Yes, in each of us. And we continue to use it to connect with each other, just like connecting with the weather. It's we just connect, continue connecting with each other, continue connecting with the whole planet. That it's that we're carrying the space that it shall be, that this is the evolution conversation, including neurodiverse, which I know that I am, and I think we all are as artists, as healers,
Weirdos.
as weirdos. Yes, whatever we, you know, whatever we've grown up knowing we're odd man out, whatever that is. It's those are all the tools as well. And we're the transition from following the rules, stuck in whatever stuck with, and not that they weren't smart, they were in their ways, they or we wouldn't have come through. But this we're part of the next evolution of human. Humanness is what Greg Braden calls it too.
Yeah, I don't know if I finished my thought on why I
Sorry.
do the dreams. I just thought about that right now.
Okay.
But yeah, the purpose you spoke to, the power. I think that just reminded me again of
Oh, okay.
the Six of Wands. It's like stepping into a new kind of power after having been uncomfortable with it. And that's like the purpose for me, is to have nothing shake me. You know, to not be surprised by anything. And that's why I put myself in these really uncomfortable positions in the dreams, so that I either surrender to the thing or find a way out and through. And nothing's gonna rattle me.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because today during my interview, that was one of the things that came out of my mouth was that most recently I've just been on this kick of just trying to push myself. When I notice I have these boundaries, these limitations, you know, say I notice, I don't know, I'm not very good in social, in a lot of social atmospheres, especially in public. And the larger the group, the more uncomfortable I get. And so, little by little, just practicing eating in the restaurant instead of taking it home, going out to like a small show and hanging out at the back and seeing how I can be around groups of 20 to 30 people at a time. And just, it's not was something I realized because a friend of mine, she's like, well, I just don't go. She's like, I just don't like concerts. I just don't go to them. And that's definitely one of the options, one of the avenues I can and could take if I wanted to, and there's nothing wrong with it. But
I could just say I don't want to, and I would just not do it. But for myself, just because I want to be able to go anywhere if I want to, do anything that I do want to, I do need to constantly push my limits and test myself and push my boundaries. And it seems to be a really common, I guess a really common feeling right now in a lot of people. It's the stretching, it's the, I kind of consider like overeating a little, like just we'd like to push ourselves as people, like the people that work out a lot. It's you're constantly sore and you kind of learn to develop a love for that pain. You're like, yeah, that means I'm rebuilding here and I'm coming back stronger. And I kind of think, at least myself, I can be that way with food. I'm just like, oh yeah, this was a good meal. And I can tell because my stomach hurts from stretching so much. I'm like, oh yeah, I was so hungry. It was so delicious that I ate past the point of comfort. That's how good it was to me. So I start to relate that pain or that discomfort as something good. And it's there's probably, some other evolutionary reason for it, but it's good for us to push ourselves to make ourselves uncomfortable. So, the universe is calling to a lot of us, telling us it's that was a cool little hermit phase, or hey, this part is good, but now you need to shift in this direction, Not saying that, because I love to hermit, not saying that I can't still hermit, or that, you can't, or that we won't hermit again, but we ebb and flow, right? We have to have the downs in order to have our backups again. So it's we can't stay in one state forever, because the quiet, that means death. That means a lack of existence. That means nothingness. Like you're saying, you don't want to flatline. That's so true in everything. We want to keep moving. It's exhausting, but we need to keep moving. So it's a very common feeling for a lot of us. And like you're saying about sitting there observing, hearing everyone saying thoughts, I think that's why the conversation flowed so easily today too. Granted, a new person jumping in the conversation, but also it's just we're all going through the same thing. We're all experiencing so much of the same things. And sometimes it is nice to hear someone else say the thoughts that you're maybe not ready to say out loud yet, or to communicate things that you're like, oh, I have these feelings, but I hadn't understood it in that linear sort of way. Thank you so much for putting it into words for me. So it was a great conversation all around.
Anything else for any of y'all, or are we done?
I think
Any
we're good.
There's
Final
always
thoughts?
more and
Yeah.
can be done.
I know. We could definitely keep ranting forever, but
Yeah. I feel good. We're
like two hours is not 2 hours. Woo! Good time, good time.
I feel
Oh my
good.
gosh, and that's only the recorded part, right? Oh no,
Yeah.
you added it. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. All righty.
All right. Well, this
You
has been
want
Shift Hit the Fan.
okay.
We
Thank you
love you.
for having me on.
Yeah, thank you. Is there anything you want to promote, or say about yourself?
Kindness and acceptance.
Awesome.
I'll
Okay.
just
You
love that.
don't want, you're not ready to be followed on the socials or anything?
No,
No, nothing.
I'm working on getting over the thought that you're gonna post this on the internet.
All
That with
right.
my real face.
Yeah.
So it is what it
No
is.
filters. Your face is beautiful.
Yes. With like
The
a little
people are
puppy
gonna
face on it so no one knows who I am.
Oh,
and people are gonna love it.
God.
We're gonna get all these followers because of you.
That's right. There we go.
Good, make it uncomfortable. Be with
Yeah.
it, hold it.
I
All
do
right.
love that you said that you made hermit a verb, and it's like, yeah, I absolutely am in the place of right now. I'm having hermit time, as and I'm growing so much from it, and it's not foreign to me at all, and neither is being out in the world. And right now, I'm not going out in the world. It's okay. It's a good choice for me. And I get a lot of people coming here because it's an event space in Los Angeles. And so I get enough interaction in person. And it also reminds me to stay in connection with my family, even when they're not here, not just really connect, because you spoke about nurturing. I'm sorry, but I did think of this earlier. You didn't call it nurturing, but what you were speaking about made me remember nurturing. So what I will leave you with is my commitment for the world is that motherhood is honored as the source for world peace. And that goes for all nurturers, and everyone has a mother, so everyone's affected.
Facts, yes.
Yes, awesome. Thank you. Thank you both for being here. Salma's also newer to the show. I'm trying to read this. It's Elias saying, thanks Daniela for coming on for me. I really enjoyed having her on. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I really hope Daniela keeps coming on. I don't want to put it out there and put pressure on, but I really
Turn
hope.
off my video.
Absolutely an invitation, right?
Yeah. It was really nice. I feel like this all lined up as it was supposed to, as it does, right?
Exactly. It's time for change for all of us. But yeah, I'm gonna post all of whatever you want me to post. I'll put it in the description if you get any courage. I'm also gonna post the decks in the description if you wanna let the people know what deck you were pulling from. And then what else? We have a Discord as well where we post the card for the week. And I think that's all of the housekeeping stuff. Anyways, thank you for being here. We love you so much and
All right.
keep coming.
Yeah, try for the same time next week.
Yes, same time every
Okay,
week.
bye.
thank
You can do
you
that.
Now,
And
the
I
end. Daniela's still trying to make hearts.
didn't make
You can
heart. Oh.
react. There's a little button to react at the bottom of your.
The heart
That's what
shape.
Salma does because she also doesn't get the hearts. This is a.
Oh, but above that. You see
There you
another heart
go.
above it. Ah,
Yay. Hearts. Hearts for everybody. We love you.
look at it. All right, bye. Thank
The
you.
end. Let the shift hit the fan. Let the shift hit the fan.